Welcome to Radio 5G with Michael Henry Dunn, Nancy Hopkins, and friends, a Cosmic Reality Radio production.
When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Or let it be.
And we are live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radio 5G. This is Michael Henry Dunn here with my co-host Nancy Hopkins. And today is Wednesday, May 15th, which happens to be National Stop 5G Awareness and Action Day. Of course, as far as we're concerned, just about every day should be Stop 5G National Day. That's what it's going to take to make a difference in this crisis. We are really pleased to have back with us our friend and special guest, Mark Steele. His time with us is limited today, so we're going to get right to an update with Mark's situation, his legal situation regarding the just outright complete controversion of justice over there in the UK because of his outspoken stance on the lethal nature of 5G, which is already being rolled out in so many places and is already causing so much damage. Welcome back, Mark. Good to have you with us.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's well, good to be here. I'm still free. Let's see what happens tomorrow.
Right, so you've got a continuance, something like that, to from your previous court date last week to a court date tomorrow. I know that you probably might need to, you know, exercise discretion about what you can and cannot talk about that. But can you give us an update on the issues and how it looks for you?
Yes, well, we're up in court tomorrow. To the local councillor trying to have me committed to prison, because obviously I sent some communications to the council, honest communications where I've explained to them about their role in relation to holding the executive authority to account. They've said that's abusive. They've said I've been abusive to them. I mean, absolute nonsense. I mean, this would turn the whole, basically, the freedom of speech on its head. You know, I mean, I sent two emails to all councillors. The first one I sent was, I waited over a month. I didn't get a single reply, not from one councillor, because obviously what we can show you, there's a cover-up in relation to the rollout of this 5G. They've denied that there was 5G. We know they've denied it. They denied it at the first court case, but it was shown in the first court case that the council really just didn't know what 5G was. They don't know that the hardware that they have fitted is, as a matter of fact, 5G. obviously, it fits all the technical parameters for 5G. It's got a 5G antenna. It's actually specific to 5G, this hardware. And that particular company's went into administration. I believe it's went into administration for a reason, to try and cover up what it actually is, which is a targeted quite and weapon system. And I know a lot of people will find that unbelievable, but there you have it. So obviously tomorrow, let's see what happens when I put my defence. The council got up in the court last Thursday. Basically, everything they said was, exaggerated, to say the least. There was a lot of things said in the court by the people there who wasn't exactly the truth, and was most certainly an exaggeration on the truth. So let's see what happens tomorrow. Obviously, people have to realise that the importance of this, it's about freedom of speech, democracy and the rule of law. What was really interesting, in the first case, the original judge, which I haven't been allowed to go back to, the council, the authority, have written to the courts to demand that can't go back to the original judge. That's very interesting. And because they didn't get the right result, so consequently, they took it back to another judge, and they have basically pursued a case that's flimsy at best. So we'll have to see what happens. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm hoping that the great British judicial system will win through and sense will be seen. But, you know, people have to understand, we'll see some very interesting things go on in the courts today. And what we'll have to do is just wait and see what happens. But obviously, there's always the appeal process. I've noticed there's been some very interesting cases of late in the higher courts in the UK where justice has been seen to be done. But what people have to remember, 5G is an indictable crime. It is a crime against humanity. So the people who are covering it up, the people who are misinforming, the deceivers, the deception around it, can all be shown to be acting unlawfully. And not only that, when this comes out, those people, those individuals who have deliberately deceived to make sure that the people don't get the truth about this, they will most certainly be or have to be brought before the courts, because this 5G is, as we know, after the congressional hearing, where there's been shown there's no safety, no research to show it's safe, technologies cannot be used to be experimented on people. This is an experimental test on the people. Even the Northeast Councils Association, which Gateshead Council are a part of, stated in a newspaper that this was an experimental test bed. An experimental test bed, experimenting with a technology that's shown in a very significant number of research and scientific published papers to do harm to biology, where animals in studies have developed cancers, in significant numbers have developed cancers. And obviously, this radiation is a classified carcinogen, and there's absolutely no research that shows that chronic exposure to it is safe. So that's where we are. This is microwave radiation in air. It's assault. So we are being assaulted in our own homes from the administration of a noxious substance. That is a crime. So what we're going to find out tomorrow is if councils are above the law and they can assault their communities with the rollout of 5G. That's what we're going to find out tomorrow, whether governments have the authority to harm the citizen. Well, I'm going to say they don't. I'm going to make a prediction yet today that they can't and they don't, because that would be a tyranny. And what we don't have, we don't live. We live in a democracy today. We live within the rule of law today, and if we will see tomorrow whether that has been impacted. Now, I do not believe that the judge in this case, once he's availed of all the relevant documentary evidence and science, he will not find in the council's favour. However, we always have higher courts, and like I said, there's some very, very interesting cases of late. Couple of the Fratton cases where they've went to the High Court, and the High Courts have actually come down on the side of the rule of law, and that's what we're looking for today. We're looking for the rule of law to be administered. It was in the first case. The first case, the judge stated quite clearly that we had to, that the council must, he stated the council must debate and discuss the 5G risk. They have stated since then they don't have 5G, which they know that they have, because in the first court case, their technical people couldn't even tell me under cross-examination what 3G, 4G was, or what 5G was. They just didn't know. They had no idea about what 5G was. They don't even know and didn't know in the court what was in those on the transmitters, on the lights. Well, unfortunately for them, they actually do have 5G, but they're in denial of that. And that's the reason why they're saying that they don't have to debate the ruling, the decision in the court, saying they don't need to debate it because they don't have 5G. I mean, this is how we have ended up in this situation, because I then sent two emails. I spoke to a solicitor on the phone at the court. He was at the court case. He heard what the judge said. He denied that. He denied that the judge said that. When I actually pressed him on it, he admitted that the judge did then say that, but then said, we still don't need a debater because we haven't got 5G. And I asked him, who's told you you don't have 5G? And Gates said, and he said, I'm not going to debate this with you, and put the phone down on me. And that's another reason why they're taking me back to court, because they're saying that phone call was abusive.
Yes, well, this is a pretty blatant example. What we're seeing now is that with 5G, the stakes are so high for the international rollout, and it looks as if there are different agendas with different entities doing this rollout. China has one agenda, Russia another, the European cabal another. But it's so high stakes. If you're seeing this kind of blatant trampling over the rule of law, they've been trampling over the rule of law for a long time, but they've been doing it, you know, a little more subtly. In your case and a lot of others, you know, that we're seeing, it's just over the top. You know, what you're describing, Mark, is so over the top in terms of a blatant trampling on freedom of speech, on due process, and, you know, and your crime is for sharing hard scientific information about, you know, a deadly harm that is being rolled out. And, you know, we're seeing, I mean, the New York Times, for example, once upon a time, you know, was the quote unquote newspaper of record in the United States for having some journalistic credibility. Well, they've just come out with an article saying, your 5G cell phone won't hurt you, but Russia wants you to think it will. You know, when in doubt, blame it on Russia. That's how absurd it's getting. The New York Times has been covering that 26,000 scientists and doctors have signed a petition saying, please stop this insanity. Don't roll this out. So, you know, we are just – we're focused in support for you and eager to hear. I mean, it sounds as if you're saying – that you think it'll go probably will go against you at this level, but there will be appeals going forward. Is that what you're seeing?
That's well, you know, we just don't know. You know, for all we know, this judge could have read all my documentary evidence. By the time we get into court, he may have a completely different take on things. We just don't know, because that's what happened in the first case. I mean, the judge in the first case, he actually stated, he said, Mr. Steele has presented to this court a tremendous amount of research on the subject, in respect of which he is obviously very knowledgeable. It's research and published work in an area which I can appreciate is an area of very considerable public concern. And I'm not going to make any order, any sort of order, which could remotely be referred to as a gagging order. The public have a right to know this is a free country. And I'm going to do any, and I'm not going to do anything which interferes with the public's right to know. So I sent two emails, do a video, basically where I, you know, they wouldn't give me the information about the funeral director's business, which I stated that they were profiting from. I named I stated the strategic director was partners, all truth in 5G telecoms companies. There was no deception. There's no abuse there, because obviously what I'm saying is, as a matter of fact, it's true, and they have said that's abusive. They said it's not true. They have actually stated to that this strategic director, I mean, I've got his records from Company's House. I mean, we've got the records from Company's House. They've wrote to me and said that it's an abuse because he's not, but the matter of a fact, he is. I mean, this is just absolutely it's crazy.
Now let me understand this, Mark, because it is crazy. It's so crazy. My mind is going like, Okay, so you went to the court and a judge said you are an authority on this subject. And so they told them they had to pay attention to, he told them what you had to pay, they've had to pay attention to you as an expert witness. Yeah. So then the counsel decides, well, he's not an expert witness because we don't have 5G. So they have just stopped any kind of legal parameters that you might have because they just said it doesn't exist. I mean, these people are brain dead already? Is this what I have to assume? Because, this is so childish. It's like, oh, no, the boogeyman's not there. When there's somebody about to hit you in the head with a sledgehammer, you know, it's just ridiculous denial.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's stunning.
I mean, we're scratching my head. You know, it's so crazy. You know that I mean, these people. I think they're in. They think they're in Eastern Germany. You know, there's some disconnect about the country that we live in and their perception of what the, you know, this just shows the type of tyrannical nature of the beast. And they're obviously operating totally outside of the rule of law. I mean, the first judge, the recorder, Nolan QC, he stated, because my evidence showed that they had broken the law. They had broken the law. They hadn't carried out any environmental impact analysis. No health impact analysis, no environmental impact analysis, nothing in relation to the optical radiation. You know, light, the LED street lighting is a hazard. It's a Category 2 optical radiation emission device. It's been shown to be harmful to the environment. They've got to do public consultation on these multi-million pound that didn't do. There was no public consultation. They admitted there was no public consultation. That there was no environmental impact analysis, all in breach of parliamentary laws and acts, in breach of European laws. The environmental impact analysis has to be carried out by the European, for the European Union to be satisfied. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And this technology has been shown to be extremely hazardous to humans. And it didn't do any. And the reason why they didn't carry out any impact analysis, it would have failed. That's what actually really happened. And obviously the judge in my case stated that they had to debate this 5G risk. And what they've come back and said, they don't have it. Well, they do have it. I sent them an email to tell them that they do have it. I sent a video breaking down the hardware for all the councillors to show them that they do have it. Not one reply. Not one reply. And what that shows is there's a conspiracy to gag councillors and others from speaking out.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure it's actually a conspiracy as much as it's that people are seriously not able to perceive this danger. That everything about it, they don't want to hear. And it's cognizant dissonance. They cannot get their heads into this framework. Now, for you or me or Michael or most of us out there, we're going like, dude, you're about to walk off over a cliff. Don't you see it? No, I don't see no cliff. I mean, that's it. It's a human fault. It's not so much conspiracy as a human fault. But on top of that, the conspiracy concept is if you don't do this, then your government and your community is going to go down the tube because of financial stuff. That's what they pressure here in the United States. So they're trying to be good stewards of the community because they all are focused on this economy and they just cannot understand the technology that can send a signal in here and the three of us could just drop dead. They can't get their heads around it. You know, it's like we're not just fighting, you know, greed. We're fighting a problem with the human psyche itself, Mark. And one judge will say, a sane person will say, you better pay attention to this. But these are people that just are, you know, they're missing something up there, an imagination maybe. I don't know what it is, but it's prevalent. And so why did they give you the continuance, if you don't mind me asking?
it was they well, I was already booked in to talk at the AV10, where what I did at the AV10, because you know there's been a lot of questions about whether we've got 5G, about who I am. Well, I had really, which is annoying, really, but we had to cover that. And obviously, well, I just basically smashed it. Because obviously, there's a lot I've held back about the hardware and the 5G.
Okay, let me just stop you for a second. So at the trial, you guys actually asked for the continuance so that you could speak at this conference that did.
No, it was their barrister. Their barrister couldn't continue. He had a trial the next day.
Oh,
so they probably wouldn't have given us one, but it was their barrister that couldn't continue. We had a trial on the next day. So we're back up again tomorrow, and where I'll be able to give my defence to the allegations. See, I'm an honest person, and what I'm trying to do is get across to these characters that they have, in fact, broken the law. You know? And I mean, that's obviously up to the judge to decide, but I've got to put the evidence to the court tomorrow in relation to that. Now, that's going to be pretty interesting. I've just got to get all that information into the court tomorrow. And I'm pretty good at getting that information across. It's not complicated. And it's an issue in relation to what the judge believes is correct. But obviously, we've got all the documentary scientific evidence to show that they've broken the law. The council have broken the law. And the law, and the reason why the recorder, Nolan QC, stated in the earlier case that they must debate the 5G risk. It's because they had broken the law. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. He said it for a reason, because he could tell by my bundle that they were in breach of a number of... And at the time, we didn't actually have the confirmation from the US Congress that this was absolutely and totally untested, unregulated. I mean, I always knew that, but we didn't have it documented. We've got that documented now. That the congressional hearing showed quite clearly that there's now no research. Now, that's in breach of the Nuremberg Code. You cannot experiment with this type of technology on anybody. It's in breach of the Nuremberg Code. This is a true crime against humanity. The council's trying to cover it up by getting me sent to prison is not going to work. And what we'll have to do is just engage people so everybody follows this trial. Everybody follows the trial. Everybody sees what's going on, and we will see the judicial system hold the authorities to account, hold the government to account. I've got people in London. I've got some other people who are starting to organise themselves, organising the funding so they can start to take these characters to court. Well, let's see what happens over the next, you know, the next few months. But I can tell you now, we are in historic times, where what we're going to do is use the British judicial system, as was used in the past. I mean, the system's always been on the side of commerce, etc. But I can tell you this, very famous case, let justice be done though the heavens fall, where slavery was actually repealed in the British court. It was repealed in the British court, where the government stated that it couldn't be because the whole economy would collapse. There was massive amounts of pressure, but an actual judge stated that slavery had to be repealed because in God's law, it was wrong. In all the law, it was wrong. The British Constitution, it was wrong. We actually have a moving constitution. Well, what I can tell you in British law, the administration of a noxious substance is a crime. Microwave radiation is a noxious substance. Local councils cannot administer noxious substance against the citizen, number one, without a prior knowledge, doing it in secret, it is a crime. And that's why we are up in court tomorrow, so that I can air those issues in a court of law and it can be brought into the public domain.
Well, Mark, you know, I really hope that your faith in the British judicial system turns out to be justified. And we are, you know, obviously there's many, many good men and women, you know, jurists, judges, etc., in that system who are determined to uphold the rule of law. And it's a fair bet to say that there are also probably a number who have been corrupted or influenced. And the stakes are so high here that what we're seeing when we look at the rollout of 5G and how obvious the lethal damage is going to be, and it already is obvious, that because it's a surveillance and control system, are they gambling that, yeah, okay, there's going to be a huge protest because there's going to be all this damage, but it is our final move for surveillance and control and a weapon system that we can essentially shut down the rule of law more or less permanently? I mean, I hate to go there, but when you look at the stakes and what's being done in your case, you have to go there. You have to speculate about that. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense, and I think there's a driver for that. But what I'm going to say is 5G kills everything. So unless, the 5G narrative, some of these foundations and the narrative about reducing the world population to 500 million, that's not the case. This thing will take down all biological life. It is genocide right across the whole world. We see it in China. We see it in South Korea. South Korea, they switched on 5G on the 5th of April, set fire to five cities. That's just the start of this. Now, obviously, that system's burnt itself out. And I don't know how many people it's killed, but probably quite a few that have been vaporized with this 5G signaling system, because obviously they prime them first, and then you've got an EMP. President Trump's brought out an EMP resilient plan. I'm pretty sure that that'll stop 5G in its tracks. He might be talking about the 5G and get 5G out there, but believe us, 5G is an EMP, by the way. If he wants to do a resilience plan on EMP, well, there's no point rolling out smart. You roll out smart devices in your locality and they can all be hacked into, they can all be used as a weapon system. And if you look at some of the hardware, I mean, this thing we have in Gateshead, it's got a 450-volt capacitor attached to the board. Well, if you can, your mobile phone operates on 3.5 electron volts, we've got a 450-volt capacitor in this piece of hardware, which I can tell you now is has only one purpose, to harm. There's no other purpose for it to have a telecommunication system with that type of capacity. It doesn't need it unless it's for something else. And I'm pretty sure I know exactly what it is that they want that 450 capacitor for. Pretty interesting. So anyway, we've got, I'm going to have to run now. I'm going to have to go and pick the barrister up. He'll be waiting for me at the train station. So I'm going to leave everybody. But get everybody, this is absolutely crucial. This is about freedom, democracy and the rule of law. We either have it or we don't have it. If our authorities have declared war on us, we need to know if they have. This is a secret war being waged on the people. Now, I know a lot of people will find that extremely difficult to believe, but I've looked at the weapon system and it's ruled up, and I'm not saying anybody who's involved with it thinks that that's what it was, right? When they were fitting it, I know what it is. That's the difference. I know what it is. They can just believe what they want to believe. However, we will have to bring that out in a court, and it's going to be, and we may not get a result the first time. You don't have to win every battle to win a war. You have to win most of them. And what you've got to remember, the first case that we had, we won that one. They were given an injunction, but they were given that injunction on the back of that council debating the 5G risk. And actually the public, like the judge said, the public have a right to know. This is the democracy. That's what he said. And I believe him. Unfortunately, they've blocked that particular judge. However, a judge is a person who has to uphold the rule of law. They have books, have a book, they have a set of parameters that they work to, and they will have to see what happens. But I'm pretty sure that the judge that we have in this case, he will no doubt, once he gets the relevant information and he understands the relevant information from me, we will see once again a result. And if we don't, this is just the start. We're not going anywhere. We're going to our next is going on the offensive, where we're going to start taking actions against these local authorities because they are acting illegally and unlawfully. So it's our opportunity now. So everybody go and check out the crowdfunding Save Us Now, the Let Justice Be Served Though the Heavens Fall. That's really important. We're going to start amassing funds so that we can then go on the offensive, because obviously legal fees, barristers' fees, not cheap. People can't live for nothing. And I mean, obviously the guys who are having the team, they're working for, it cost, but obviously they've got to spend a lot of time. These are complex cases. But obviously once we start to smash down this illegal activity, we'll start to see some results yet.
Well, we'll do our best to keep the focus on this and just spread the word so that there's as much attention as possible on how this is unfolding. I know you've got to take off now. We are so appreciative of you being with us today, Mark, to share this with us. So God bless you. We'll be sending you good light and prayers today and tomorrow and moving forward.
And God bless everybody, and God bless everybody who's listening to this. And God has our back, believers. God has our back. Well, I wasn't putting gates in just because, it was just something that was just going to happen. This has happened for a reason. And there's only one person that organizes that, and it's God.
Well, we've got a lot of reason for hope. There's a lot of action going on around the world, certainly in this country, in the U.S., like you're describing. So God bless you, Mark. And once again, thanks for being with us. We hope to hear from you real soon. Let us know.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, hon. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.
All right. Well, that is the remarkable Mark Steele. God, thank God we've got him and other people like him.
Well, but he's right. The fact that they put this in Gateshead first, and Mark lives just on the outskirts of Gateshead, and he's the one person probably on the face of the earth that could put it together. Why are they putting those things in my neighborhood? It's like you got to believe that, coincidence is thought and action. And I'm totally with him that God orchestrated this so that Mark could see it for the rest of us. And they put that in Gateshead so that Mark could see it first.
Yeah. Ironically, it tends to keep working out that way. Every move they make by, the wonderful thing we call coincidence or synchronicity, ends up providing an opportunity for Spirit to say, not so fast. I've got other plans. So there is lots of good news to share. If it works for you, Nancy, I'd like to go on to there's a link on the Environmental Health Trust, that's ehtrust.org site, that is very up to date, that is sharing a lot of the effective action that's going on. Is there anything that you wanted to cover first
before we get to that? No, that's fine. I just want to point out. Okay, I hope I put the promo up. I'm sure. Yeah, there's a promo up on the chat room, and you're going to see a picture of this guy in a hazmat. He's up doing the cell tower things, and he's in a hazmat suit. This picture in and of itself should indicate that these are very dangerous. I was like, thankfully that they allowed them to put the hazmat on, even though, in many ways these are not the kind of people I want to protect because they're the ones that are putting it there. But at the same time, I've been told I know because it was somebody that talked to one of the people that normally does this, that they weren't even allowed to take their meters, their EMF meters up with them. They used to have douse meters so that when they went up, they would, record how much radiation they were getting. But those were taken away from them as the power came up. And then they were prevented, absolutely told, do not bring any kind of a metering device. But now you see this one guy in a hazmat suit. The other thing is those fires in South Korea. And that's on the promo too. You'll see all these fires. It was five cities. They turned on 5G and five cities started burning.
And he's, just another one of those coincidences, right?
Right, and he's right. A lot of these people probably were, because it's a direct energy weapon. They probably were vaporized. In the same way that on 9/11, okay, you got 3,000 people in this building and you don't find any bodies. Why? Because they were vaporized. Why do you have people who are jumping off a building and there's no fire on the floor that they're on? Why are they jumping off the building? Because their skin was burning up and they'd rather, they were just out of their minds. They had to get away from it. So they jump, you know, and no bodies. I mean, please, people, this is what we're talking about. Direct energy weapons are, you know, you see, you know, the Star Trek stuff where you push a button and the guy vaporizes. That's what this is in its most dire state. And they say, yeah. Oh, well, we're going to keep it low. You, when you turned it on, you maxed it out, and you've burned down five cities and killed how many millions? And is this ever going to come out?
Right, well, I don't think the death toll was in the millions in Korea, but certainly
well,
the
but
coincidence.
You don't know, Michael, if they've all just gone to dust. Why is it that the California, we still don't know how many people are missing because they disappeared because they went to dust. This is a situation you can't call bodies anymore. There's no bodies. What are you talking about? There's millions of people dead. There's no bodies. Yeah, because the DEW just took them out. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the results of it are so blatant that you got to ask yourself, okay, how did they think they were going to get away with this? And this is where we come back to the question of whether this is a desperation move. Because they recognize that people are waking up. They recognize that the light is popping up in too many places. There's too much awakening going on. Their control mechanisms are crumbling, and they have to implement a worldwide system of control and lockdown and surveillance and weapons capability in order to, you know, prevent their complete downfall. That's, you know, that's the logic that you kind of have to look at behind this, because it's so clumsy. You know, they really think they were going to get away with this. And I think that's why it is so blatant. They are trampling the rule of law and human rights even more blatantly than they've been doing for decades. And then you get five cities going up in flames as soon as they turn it on. What, they think we're not going to notice this, and somehow we're going to say, oh, it's those dear, careful folks who are just thinking about, we need a healthy economy, you want to have better AI than Russia and China, and this is all for you children, just sit back and relax and, you know, trust mommy and daddy, we're going to take care of you as we implement a deadly surveillance and control system. So, you know, you and I have talked about this, about how actually it's useful to the freedom movement, because this is the biggest wake-up call story you could possibly imagine. It's about the biosphere surviving, let alone humanity. So I'd like to share some good news. You know, it's not all gloom and doom, folks. There's plenty of good news to be shared. We're sharing with you from ehtrust.org. I shared the link with Nancy. An article called International Actions to Halt and Delay 5G. I'm just going to read some of the text here. The growing awareness of the health impact of the 4G/5G densification is resulting in action by policymakers worldwide. Cities are issuing resolutions and calls for research before deployment. There are citizens' organizations in almost every country working on this, and a growing list of public officials speaking out. For example, in the U.S., the state of New Hampshire, they have a 5G bill, it's a HB 522, that asks, quote, why have thousands of peer-reviewed studies, including the recently published U.S. Toxicology Program 16-year, $30 million study, that are showing a wide range of statistically significant DNA damage, brain and heart tumors, infertility, and so many other ailments, why are these being ignored by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC? And why have more than 220 of the world's leading scientists signed an appeal to the World Health Organization and the UN to protect public health from wireless radiation, and why has nothing been done? So here's an incomplete list. I'm just going to tick off a number of actions from around the world. As we mentioned last time, in Brussels, Belgium, capital of the EU, radiation concerns have halted the 5G rollout in Brussels for now. In Florence, Italy, Florence is invoking the precautionary principle for the rollout of 5G. And basically, the precautionary principle is like Mark was saying, don't roll out this whole new system without doing the necessary safety research. In Italy, one of the municipalities of Rome has voted against 5G. Netherlands, they want radiation research before 5G rollout. In Russia, and you brought this up the other day, Nancy, the Ministry of Defense refused to transmit to the operators the frequencies for 5G. Well, yeah. Guess what? It's a weapon system.
Well,
right?
yes, but the reason I brought it up was because the New York Times saying that Russia wants us to be afraid of 5G when their own Ministry of Defense won't allow it to go in.
Yeah, the good old New York Times. That's about as when in doubt, blame Russia. When in doubt and you're protecting the corporate interests that have turned a once great newspaper into a propaganda organ, just blame Russia. That covers it. In Switzerland, in Geneva, in the canton of Vaud, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, V-A-U-D, Geneva, they've stopped the construction of 5G antennas. Switzerland is blocking the deployment until its security is demonstrated. California Supreme Court is siding with cities in a small cell face-off. That's from just a couple of weeks ago. And we mentioned the bill in New Hampshire. In Germany, there's a massive petition. And so there's a lot of good news happening in a lot of places. I can also share here in the U.S., I'm coming to you from Colorado, and we are working with a number of people both here and in northern New Mexico, specifically in the town of Taos, you know, a beautiful town in northern New Mexico, and there's a very effective movement that is underway in Taos, and they are just, you know, the people in the county commissioners, you know, these aren't bad folks. Like you say, Nancy, they are, you know, we're dealing with ignorance and cognitive dissonance. They just can't believe, well, they wouldn't roll out a new communication system that would be deadly, kill the biosphere, give us tumors and infertility and cause neurological impairment to our kids. They wouldn't do that. Well, and the FCC approves it. It's all good, isn't it? You know, so we now have an opportunity to go before a county commissioners meeting in Taos on June 11th, and there's going to be a hearing. And one of the things that will be said is your plausible deniability that you just rolled this out because you didn't know. Well, you know, I'm sorry that your baby died. I'm sorry that your kid's impaired. I'm sorry that, you know, your wife got a brain tumor. But, you know, we just didn't know. Well, that's history. Now you know. You know, there's massive evidence, thousands of peer-reviewed studies. So, you know, in a very open and friendly way, because, you know, these are good people. These aren't, you know, the devil incarnate trying to destroy the world. They're just bowing to corporate pressure. But, you know, once they see the facts, you know, no amount of corporate pressure is going to bring your kid back. You know, this is essential human values stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to share some of that good news. I know you had shared with me, Nancy, a really excellent draft that you sort of downloaded about a way of approaching folks in these positions, town councils, county commissioners, state legislators, to simultaneously, you know, wave a stick in terms of, hey, you're going to be personally liable. And also, you know, an appeal to the fact that, hey, these are our friends and neighbors. These are our fellow human beings. Come on, once you know the facts, how can you possibly support this? Do you have any comment on that, Nancy?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to find out where I put that. and I can't seem to find it. Maybe this is it, because I did have a number of points, because he also mentioned that he was talking about the Nuremberg Code, and he wanted to cite it as being, you know, a law. But the Nuremberg Code, which came about after World War II, and this particular code was specifically related to the experimentation on human beings. And there's 10 points in it. And if you happen to have it, do you have it in front of you? Because I don't know where I did it. We'll come out from
front. I do. I have it in front of me.
Okay, so we'll read these 10 points to you. But the Nuremberg Code itself was never adopted as a law by any governmental entity. However, it was used as precedent in so many laws after that. So even though, you know, because I don't want somebody jumping all over Mark or anybody else about the Nuremberg Code, it wasn't even, you know, somebody's going to figure that one out and go after him. But the fact of the matter is, yes, it is not a law in and of itself, but it is the basis for so many other laws that in speaking about it, you're speaking about the intent of the law. And the intent of the law is to keep people from being experimented on in the most inhumane way in World War II. And so they put it as a law, not as a law, but a suggested law that was adopted in not its entirety and slightly different, but by many other laws. You have the dictate of what a group of people said, these should be considered when you're going to experiment on people. And, you know, if you want, Michael, we could just, you know, start reading through them and comment. We can talk about each one of these things. Some of them are so blatantly obvious that you don't even have to say anything. Would that work? Are you there?
I am here. Yeah, let's do that, Nancy. I've got it in front of me. So I'm going to start quoting from it, and then, you know, let's you and I just go back and forth as we go through it. Is that good?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, so this is from a draft of a letter by Nancy Hopkins as a template that can be used by various, you know, Stop 5G activists in approaching local officials, town councils, county commissioners, state legislators, et cetera. Jumping in a little bit into it, all I'm asking is that you enact legislation to stop deployment of 5G technology until stringent, certified, independent research can prove that the technology is safe for all biological life. Please understand, I'm pointing out only one thing here. In deploying 5G without proof of its safety, it's a crime against humanity as stated in the Nuremberg Code. This 10-point code resulted from the Nuremberg trials at the end of the Second World War when immoral, inhumane, and quite insane experiments were conducted. While the code is not law, it has been adopted as the accepted statement regarding human experimentation at every level of legal institutions, including the UN and the U.S. legal code. While all 10 points of the Nuremberg Code are disregarded by the current 5G accelerator deployment without addressing safety concerns, we only have to consider 3 of these 10 points to understand why this deployment constitutes a crime against humanity. Okay, according to point 1 of the Nuremberg Code, voluntary consent is absolutely essential. And in this room today and all over the world, individuals are standing up and proclaiming, my consent has not been given to be a human subject in the 5G experiment. Point 2 states that anticipated results of the experiment must be for the good of society that are not obtainable in any other way. The current 4G technology is adequate for almost instantaneous communications worldwide. The only claimed benefit of the new and vastly different 5G, with cost estimates running in the trillions of dollars, is to build the, quote, Internet of Things. And should this Internet of Things be considered a human necessity, fiber optic technology can provide the same service without the dangers. Assuming that there is something to be gained by the Internet of Things, the Nuremberg Code, point 6, states, the degree of risk should never exceed the possible humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved by the experiment. So, 5G technology. While 5G technology has been scientifically proven to kill microorganisms in the soil, insects, small animals, and all vegetation, this situation began with 4G. And we currently find ourselves in the midst of what scientists refer to as the sixth extinction event. Six B species are about to disappear forever. That continual march toward extinction coincides with the proliferation of the current 4G technology. We know the bees are dying because we count them. The estimate is over 75% of all insects are extinct in areas of Wi-Fi radiation. 5G will decimate the insect world much faster because the new frequencies being used and the unique structure of insects make them more vulnerable. To be blunt, the Internet of Things will bring an end to the world as we know it. That is the risk, and the only benefit is for those who would profit from the 5G experiment. And so, if there is no proven health risk for humans, why did Lloyd's of London, most famous insurance company in the world, they'll insure anything, right? Since February of 2015, they have added to all their health insurance policies exclusion 32. This exclusion has been adopted throughout the insurance industry, and it excludes liability coverage for claims, quote, directly or indirectly arising out of, resulting from, or contributed to by electromagnetic fields, electromagnetic radiation, electromagnetism, radio waves, or noise. So there you have it. You know, this, as Nancy points out, you know, the Nuremberg Code is not law, but as a precedent, it is one of the most famous, you know, sets of trials that ever took place in world history. And the crimes that were being tried had resulted in the deaths of 50 million people, if we're talking about World War II and the war crimes committed by the Axis powers. So, you know, that is about as powerful a precedent of what the rule of law is, what humane and moral legal codes should be. So, you know, we are careful to make these distinctions, as you point out, Nancy. Somebody's going to look it up and say, ooh, gotcha, you people don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know, the Nuremberg Code is the Nuremberg Code. You know, it is not law, but it is an extremely powerful and important precedent, which has been used as a principle for a number of other laws, both in the U.S. And also in various U.N. Conventions and human rights agreements. Excuse me just a sec. You want to jump in here, Nancy? I just need to clear my throat.
Okay, I can jump if I unmute. Yes, it's so critical that we understand that even if 5G stops, we're still in a very bad problem. And I said when I first realized how fast they were rolling out the 5G, because I saw it, all of a sudden I went, oh my God, because I thought I had another 18, 24 months before I would really have to fight this one. And I see that they're actually doing it, and I see a line in the sand. And I said, okay, so this is an opportunity. This is so big. This is a complete assault. Forget ETs coming down and attacking us. We're being attacked by people who the only apparent reason for it is greed. You know, this is
right.
Really, really
yeah.
sad. And that's where I'm at with it, is like, you know, if we just think of it as an opportunity to come together, it's a win situation, because there is no defense on their part. It's like, let's think of what Mark said to us. The only defense that the opposition could present in a court of law was to deny that there was a problem. We're not using 5G, because you can't debate the dangers of it.
Yeah, once it's on the table, you know, it can say, well, okay, a certain number of tumors are acceptable. Well, a certain number of, you know, developmentally impaired kids are acceptable. Well, a certain number of miscarriages are acceptable, you know, because we want to be able to download movies in 30 seconds rather than 60 seconds as we wait at the airport gate. You know, sorry about your kid. You know, sorry about your wife. You know, well, there are people Mark, who actually think
remember,
that way.
Remember when Mark was talking to somebody that was in the business, and he said to him, you must know the dangers of this. And the guy said to him, honestly, obviously, well, it's going to be maybe some old people and the invalids, but, you know, the rest of us will be all right. Said this
right,
to
and
Mark.
That's, I mean, that's eugenics. That's Nazi eugenics right up front, you know? Yes, well, we're just culling out the weak ones in the herd. You don't mind that, do you? I mean, you know, is it, unfortunately, there are people like that. And they're not the majority, but yeah, that's the, you know, a sociopathic mindset of that, you know, has been shown in studies of people operating at the upper echelons of Wall Street having an utter lack of human empathy, and a sociopathic mindset is an asset to rising to the top in Wall Street. And so, you know, we can see people like that, that you occasionally run into. It's not most folks, obviously, but unfortunately, these are the people pushing the rollout, you know, let's just call it purchasing influence at governmental levels. People, you know, with captive agencies like the FCC, which is being run by the people it's supposed to be policing. You know, at those levels, yeah, there's just a degree of willful blindness, and then a certain amount of just outright arrogant disregard for human life. Unfortunately, you know, there is that as well. But, you know, we're appealing on the local level. And you mentioned this a couple of times. We cannot expect remedy for this at the federal level. There has to be such an outcry by towns, villages, municipalities, counties, states across the country and across the world that, you know, you are personally liable, you people who are doing this. I just want to mention, I shared with Nancy just now a link. There's an organization in Taos, New Mexico called is5gsafe.org. And today is National 5G Awareness Day. And right now, in the town of Taos, there are information tables at all of the local retail establishments of the telecom companies. You know, Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, they've all got, as we speak today, there are information tables out in front of those big telecom company retail outlets alerting people to the truth about 5G. At the major supermarkets as well, there have already been actions. There's a public hearing for Taos County on Tuesday, June 11th. It's Taos County Clerk. And there will be hundreds of concerned citizens who will be involved in making sure that these county commissioners who are being asked to vote on, I don't know the exact technical terms, but it's essentially a waiver being given for the rollout. And the argument that they're presenting in Taos, because one of our people down there actually had a conversation, and they're tying 5G rollout to the 911 emergency response system. And they're saying, well, hey, you know, you don't want us to not be able to find you when you're having a heart attack, do you? And this guy actually said to one of the women who are spearheading this, you know, because we don't want to have the city sued because you couldn't find somebody in their home when they were having a heart attack. I said, because, oh, by the way, 5G will tell people exactly where you are at all times. See how comfortable that makes you. And, of course, she responded and said, well, if you're worried about being sued, you ought to take that to another level because you are personally liable for the massive health impact that the 5G rollout could have. And you're just, you know, rolling it into the 911 response system so that, you know, they've got a cover. And it's just covert. And it would already be in place and already be bombarding people with microwave millimeter radiation if we hadn't raised the alarm. So it's happening covertly unless we do the wake-up call on it. So I am really encouraged about what we're seeing happening. You know, Taos, we're going to be filming this, and whichever way it rolls, you know, there will be some footage, and everybody will be able to see how active and you know, really lit up this movement to stop 5G is.
Okay, then. Let's take a break here, and we'll be back in 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Natalie Rise.
All right.
Generations will rise.
You won't see us on your TV. You won't read us in the news feed. But the time did come. Change keeps beating like a drum. Cause the people have the power. They keep waking by the hour. And the youth them see. So they're breaking free from your mental slavery.
Generations will rise. Governments, they will fall. But the only ones who will carry us through it all. If the words, they are clear. And the actions are strong.
Generation, just rise and take your stand where you belong, cause it's awakening, replacing them false religion. Truth has spread like wildfire in the streets. Anything less than equal rights get deleted, cause all your consciousness we are seek. Open up your heart and let that inner voice speak. Hey. Capitalism and them economy. It's up to we, so open up your heart and let love lead the way.
Back, but I also found the entire list of the Nuremberg. It wouldn't take long to read it, should we?
Sure, let's go for it.
Okie dokie. The first one. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. Number two. The experiment should be such as to yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in nature. 3. The experiment should be designed and based on the results of animal experimentation and a knowledge of the natural history of the disease or other problem under study, that the anticipated results will justify the performance of the experiment. Number four, the experiment should be conducted as to avoid all unnecessary physical and mental suffering and injury. Number five, no experiment should be conducted where there is an a prior reason to believe that death or disabling injury will occur, except perhaps in those experiments where the experimental physicians also serve as subjects. And this is the one of the 10 codes that absolutely they have conformed to, because it says that those putting everybody else under the experiment have to be subjected to it too. And this is where we have cognizant dissonance, and how stupid can you be? You think you're not going to die? I mean, it's like, okay. Number six. Did you want to say anything about that, Michael?
Well, yeah, I was just going to mention I saw an article somewhere that it looks as if 5G is not going to be rolled out around Mar-a-Lago. And President Trump's particular municipality won't be bombarded. I'm not saying that that's, you know, that Trump is aware of that or he's doing it. Obviously, it's a high-end community. And some of these people, you know, with some corporate, well, you can roll that out everywhere else, but I'm a little nervous about my kids being exposed to it, and I don't like those ugly cell towers, so why don't we just put in a little caveat here that it doesn't happen where we are. But they're not going to be able to escape it. You know, once these 20,000 low-orbit satellites are in place, it's blanketing the planet. So, yeah, they'll be participating in the experiment, whether they like it or not, as you say.
Well, the rich people can also afford lawyers to sue everybody else. You know, but yeah, I just, when I read that one, I was like, well, that one they managed to be in conformance with.
Yeah. Funny.
Oh, Lord. Number six, the degree of risk to be taken should never exceed that determined by the humanitarian importance of the problem to be solved by the experiment. How can faster internet overshadow the death of nature?
Right. Well, the rationale they're trotting out on this is the same old one that has been used for centuries, which is war, which is there's bad people out there who are going to use AI to completely dominate us. We've got to be ahead. You know, it's like, oh, we got to be ahead in the space race because the Soviets are going to rain down missiles on us from the moon. You know, that the moon is the high ground of space, you know, in military terminology of, you know, we don't want the Soviets to get the high ground. I think Lyndon Johnson, before he was president, said something like, I don't want to go to sleep at night under a Soviet moon, you know, something like that. So it's the same kind of deal. It's like AI, you know, like, oh, we have to be ahead of the Russians. We have to be ahead of the Chinese because AI is, you know, the weapons technology of the future. And, you know, we're doing this for your safety, people. Well, yeah, that's always been trotted out. And certainly, I mean, you know this better than anybody, Nancy, as a former U.S. Army energy weapons specialist yourself, that, yeah, there are huge applications of this kind of technology in a military context. But, you know, for humanity, I mean, this is the last straw. They have trotted out this rationale for wars, you know. I mean, it's who was it, Goering or somebody at the Nuremberg trials said, well, it's not that hard, you know, to start a war. You just need to get enough people afraid and just tell them big enough lies about how there's this horrible enemy who's coming after them. And then you just keep hammering at it. And the bigger the lie, the better. I mean, these are like quotes from the Nazi head of propaganda. And it's, you know, what happened in the rollout to, you know, the weapons of mass destruction while we, you know, go take out Iraq. Well, the WMDs were never there, as we know. So this is just, you know, another example of it. And only this time, you know, the costs aren't just millions of dead, it's billions of dead and a dead planet. So we're saying no.
Yeah, no, yeah, we certainly are. Now, number seven is interesting because it says proper preparation should be made and adequate facilities provided to protect the experimental subject against even remote possibilities of injury, disability, or death. Okay. Let's talk to the South Koreans about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you protected? Was there facilities?
Yeah, not very remote.
I mean, like, my God. Okay, number eight. The experiment should be conducted only by scientifically qualified persons. The highest degree of skill and care should be required through all stages of the experiment of those who conduct or engage in the experiment. Now, this one is really very interesting because what has happened is that you have the federal Drug Administration. Now, they supposedly are the people that are watching out for your health concerns. And there's, what is he, the Attorney General? What is he, of the health realm? What's his name? I don't even know what his name is or position, but
the Surgeon General.
Surgeon General. Thank you very much. The Surgeon General is supposed to look at all of the possible health problems and, you know, for the nation. Well, somewhere along the line, the FDA got kicked out of the concept of anything to do with electromagnetic radiation. And the go-to group that is now in charge of determining if something is healthy or not is the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. Now, how the hell did that happen? All right.
Yeah, so, they have no medical expertise. They're being run by former executives of big telecom companies.
There is not one medically certifiable authority within the FCC. How come they're responsible for deciding this? And this is, again, you know, are these scientifically qualified people? Well, I don't think so. You know, so again, this is ridiculous concept. Anyway, why would you have somebody drive a car who has never gotten a license and never tried to drive a car before? You know, mm-hmm. It's like insane. Number nine, during the course of the experiment, the human subject should be at liberty to bring the experiment to an end if he has reached the physical or mental state where continuation of the experiment seems to him to be impossible. Well, that's where I'm at. You know? Yes,
yeah.
I'm begging you, stop this experiment.
To which I never consented in the first place.
Exactly. Nor was it needed, nor was there any... Oh, my God. All right, number 10. We'll get to the end of this here. During the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage if he has probable cause to believe in the exercise of good faith, superior skill, and careful judgment required of him that a continuation of the experiment is likely to result in injury, disability, or death to the experimental subject. Okay. So could some one of these scientists stand up? Oh, my gosh. There's thousands of them that have stood up and said, you can't do this. This is insane. And nobody wants to pay attention if you've got stock in telecommunications.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Who, by the way, cannot be sued for hurting you. You can't sue the telecommunications because your children and your pets are all dead and you've got terminal cancer. You can't sue them by an act of law of the United States government, which is actually a corporation.
But you can, from what I'm hearing, pierce the corporate veil and hold individuals personally liable. I mean, good luck, you know, bringing action against a corporation. And, you know, it's a slap on the wrist if they do find against the corporation. Oh, this corporation behaved very badly. We're going to fine them $10 million. You know, like it means nothing to them. So the individuals continue to go their way. The individuals continue to get big stock option packages and benefits and, you know, golden parachutes and all the rest of it. You know, the fact that nobody went to jail in the wake of the 2008 crash. You know, they went to jail in Iceland, but not a single, you know, one of those demonstrably corrupt officials. It was just, oh, well, we're suing the corporations, and though they've been bad, we're going to slap them with a fine, which has no punitive value. It, you know, it just continues, as we're seeing. What I wanted to ask here, Nancy, is, so we all know the relevance of the Nuremberg Code points we're going through here, because we all recognize that this is a massive experiment being carried out on humanity by these, you know, various rollouts going on around the world. You know, to frame it this way is, it's undeniable that this is what is taking place. And yet, of course, they're going to say, well, this isn't an experiment. You know, this is a necessary security measure because it's a war thing. Oh, it's a necessary, you know, AI measure because we need to be ahead of Russia and China. Or it's just the Internet of Things promises so many wonderful benefits for humanity that this is just, you know, this isn't an experiment. We're not, you know, some, we're not Dr. Mengele off in some laboratory torturing people. You know, we're just, you know, businessmen and women. So, you know, our job is to make that case in towns and counties and municipalities and states across the country so that there is moral force behind this. And, you know, there's a lot of, specific areas that can be brought up for these various officials, because you know you need to give them something that within their jurisdiction and capability they can actually do. Okay, what can we don't like it, help us get, how do we, what, give us something we can do here. We can talk about that.
All you're asking for is a moratorium on it before it's proven safe. You know, it's enough of this of proving that we don't know what we're talking about. You prove to me that you do. You show me that statistics a study. Just stop long enough to give me that study. Because they can't give you that study. Once you stop it, and they, you know, because you do not have any studies that say it's safe. Just stop everything until you can show me that. Well, they can't. So that in itself is dead in the water. It'll never be revived. It will never be made safe, regardless of what Mr. Trump or anybody else might say.
Well, let me share, you know, with these various actions that are being rolled out in cities and towns and counties across the country, some of the loopholes and approaches that can work. Local ordinances note various purposes, such as preserving visual character. Yeah, I want to preserve the visual character of my face not being distorted by microwave meteoration, you know, radiation heat. Protecting environmental resources, yeah, namely the biosphere. Protecting residents against adverse health effects. They're taking a variety of approaches, such as prohibiting small cells in certain areas. Creating application and recertification fees, imposing aesthetic and administrative requirements. And some of these actions are combining a number of these approaches at once. You know, federal preemption has been exaggerated. This is good news. Everybody's saying, oh, you know, the FCC has been given the right to just steamroll. Well, that is true to some extent, but it turns out local governments do have authority to impose procedural requirements. For example, here's two documents from Montgomery County in Maryland by the law offices of Mark C. Del Bianco. Good for you, Mr. Del Bianco, which clarify what localities can and cannot do in terms of procedural requirements. There's a summary of a proposed FCC small cell order and a memo. Federal law does not prohibit a county from imposing stricter procedural requirements on wireless facilities than on other pole attachments. So you can address location. You can't have small cell installations in residential streets or certain streets. Can't be close to residences, schools, hospitals, other installations. These installations must be relocated if they would interfere. You can object on the basics of aesthetics and environment. There's administrative and legal notices. You have to notify residents who will be within a certain distance of an installation. There has to be a time limit for permits. You know, it goes on and on. This, again, this is from ehtrust.gov. environmentalhealthtrust.org. This is Environmental Health Trust, one of the best organizations out there taking action against 5G. So I'm sharing all this, you know, just to let everybody know, hey, you know, there's not only hope out there, there's a lot of action being taken. I mean, I know you mentioned, Nancy, that when you and I founded Radio 5G and, you know, 5G-KNOW.com, 5G-KNOW.com, you were saying, well, you know, we'll be lucky if in 6 months to a year we're taking some meaningful action. And, you know, you were saying you've seen accelerated action in 6 weeks you didn't think you'd see in 6 months to a year, right?
Absolutely true. I was stunned at how fast people were waking up. But again, it goes back to the situation that this is 5G is causing people to become focused on the whole biosphere. And thank God for that. I mean, to me, 5G is a gift, because I was fighting for how many years now? Decades. Against the destruction of the natural energy field of the earth because of all this Wi-Fi, this pollution. And nobody wanted to hear me or thousands of other people saying the same thing. But 5G comes along, and it's so blatantly destructive that people, you know, are stunned, like, oh my goodness, you know. But there's nobody on the other side saying, no, here's the proof that it's safe. There is none of that. There is no opposition, no, nothing that they can put on the table. That's what's so stunning. So people look at it, they see nobody that can show them the counter. I mean, there's 1,000 peer-reviewed studies showing you the problems with 4G, never mind 5G. And then there's, you know, hundreds on the 5G. And, of course, this goes back to the 70s when I first heard about it. And when you're looking at all of the things that 5G is bringing with it, it's really a gift to bring human beings to an awareness on the brink of the sixth extinction event. This is not even with 5G here. We're about to bio-collapse. But with the 5G, all of a sudden, well, you'll bio-collapse it faster, but now you've also got an opportunity to stop 5G and then to look at 4G. And see, oh my God, what can we do about this? Because that can be fixed. We have ways of fixing that, but not 5G.
Right. And there's, you know, $20 trillion being spent on the 5G rollout. Well, a fraction of that would probably establish fiber optic, you know, wired safe technology worldwide. But, you know, that doesn't have the advantages, the control advantages, the AI advantages, obviously, that are the hidden agenda behind 5G. I'd like to share some more, just, you know, to continue to share a rollout of good news so that people understand, you know, this is no small movement. This is nationwide in the U.S. It's worldwide. Montana. The state of Montana passed a joint resolution calling on Congress to amend the Federal Telecommunications Act to account for health effects of siting small cell network equipment in residential areas. City of Hallandale Beach, Florida passed a 5G small cell tower resolution. Greendale, Wisconsin also passed a resolution calling it an unprecedented attack on local control of Greendale's largest asset, the public rights of way, and threatening the village's responsibility to protect the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. Go on down Petaluma, California, up in the Bay Area. They have a new ordinance they have passed. No small cell shall be within 500 feet of any residence, 1,500 feet minimum between each cell, small cell facility. As we know, the 5G towers are more like, you know, 500-600 feet apart. And a lot of other bullet points in Petaluma's action. Fairfax, California, an urgency ordinance to establish regulations. Warren, Connecticut, also redefining their policy to assert their rights to control the rollout. Burlington, Massachusetts, Verizon withdrew its application, concerned by the precedent it would set, questioning its legality. So we have Burlington, Massachusetts, Palos Verdes, California. After citizen uproar, Crown Castle began complying with municipal aesthetic requirements, moving locations out of neighborhoods. Palos Verdes is a high-end, high property value town in the South Bay, down in Southern California. So, you know, it goes on. Palo Alto, hey, you know, Tech Central, right? They voted unanimously to approve a resolution and amended wireless ordinance that the city council had proposed. And that is disfavoring the placement of cell towers in residential zones near schools. So there's, you know, Monterey, California, Mill Valley, California, San Anselmo, California, Rose Valley, Danville, California, Little Silver, New Jersey. The list goes on and on. Walnut City, California, Sebastopol, Pittfield, Massachusetts, Hempstead, New York, Mason, Ohio, you know, Sonoma, California. So when we're out there talking to our local officials, the initial response of people who've been influenced by corporate entities is, oh, this is a conspiracy theory, and, you know, it's a bunch of, what was it, hysterical women was a phrase that was thrown at a couple of our people down in New Mexico. So I think, right, all right, well, I guess the country is being completely taken over by conspiracy theorists and hysterical women in all these municipalities across the country where city councils are passing ordinances to stop this insanity. You know, that old dismissal does not hold water anymore. San Rafael, California, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Holyoke, Massachusetts, Boonville, Arkansas, you know, L.A. finally catching up with it, a letter from the mayor to the FCC. So, you know, there's lots of good news out there. What we really want everybody to understand is that this is the momentum behind this movement is huge and it's growing. And we have to keep the pressure on. We have to keep the heat on. And it's happening. To me, it has an irreversible quality about it right now in terms of the movement. And we're seeing, you know, the pushback, like you're saying, Nancy, you know, that they can't defend it. Once it's on the table, they have to be completely over the top, absurdly propagandistic and dismissive. Like the New York Times article saying, you know, oh, your 5G cell phone is safe, but the Russians don't want you to think so. Well, you know, tell that to the thousands of scientists in Europe who are signing a petition to stop this insanity. You can't, you know, the blame the Russians thing isn't going to work anymore. But it's like they're desperate and that's all they have to fall back on. I'm jabbering on here. You want to jump in?
Well, what I don't want people to do is to see this list of all this activity and say, oh good, somebody else is doing it. The fact of the matter is that it is a system, but every system has partial loops to it. So if you don't do anything, they could turn on your partial loop. The rest of us might be fighting it. It's also a satellite system. But what I'm telling you is do not think that just because California and Florida, and I used to work in Hallandale Beach, Florida for 25 years. I'm glad that, well, at least that was sane. They're sane. I didn't realize they were sane when I was working there. But when we got out there, you got to do it neighborhood by neighborhood. Now, it's not just to stop 5G. We have tremendous problems. We have a worldwide collapse of the biosphere. We have sociopaths and psychopaths that are in charge of our governments. We have militaries that are beyond the scope of being needed because there is no enemy. These enemies are being created as boogeymen. This is an opportunity not just to stop 5G, but to come together as a human family. That there's no national boundaries. This was an attempted attack on all of humanity. Every country was involved in it, except, oddly enough, Russia. Why do I say that? Well, because Russia, the military, see, the military over here gave the, well, technically they were in charge of the bandwidth, based on what I know, And they gave it over to the civilians to be able to put the 5G in there. But in Russia, the military said, no, we're not going to allow you to do this. Now, do you really think that the Russian military is going to do something that Putin doesn't want? This is a cover story for why he is not going there. We're not, tell them the military said we couldn't do it. This is from the top down. The Russians know the danger. And oddly enough, this Russians is terrible oligarchy, dictators that control their people are choosing not to use electromagnetic energies to control their people. Just saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to pretend that, you know, Russia is an ideal example of democracy and human rights. They're still transitioning from being an authoritarian state, you know, for centuries under the Tsar, 70 years under, you know, totalitarian oppression by the Soviets. And yeah, you know, then Putin came in and had to clean up the total corrupt mess under Yeltsin. So yeah, we're not going to pretend that Russia is the model of democracy and human rights. But as you say, the fact that...
No, but they may be the sanest nation on the planet.
Yeah, which isn't saying much these days, but I'll get to them.
I can't remember who said this, but they said, I cannot quite believe that Donald Trump and he named a couple of other heads of governments would allow their people to be killed and decimated by this. You know, but he didn't add Putin to that. Well, Putin seems to be the one guy on the face of the earth that's saying, we ain't going to do this here. Now, I'm not judging the government or anything else. I'm judging the sanity of the government head, who is Putin. And at least he's sane enough to say, this is not a good idea. Because he knows he will be part of the experiment.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny about Putin. You know, Saturday Night Live has the sketches where, you know, Putin is just a puppet master, and he's usually shown, you know, muscular, bare to the waist, bare-chested, you know, just, you know, a complete caricature. And then you've got, you know, CNN, MSNBC, you know, demonizing Putin and demonizing Russia. And now the New York Times saying, oh, you know, Russia doesn't want you to do 5G. Well, the one thing that they don't ever show you is actual footage of Vladimir Putin talking. You know, because he comes off as a very reasonable statesman. The statements that he makes, the speeches that he makes, you know, the off the cuff interplay that he will engage in, you know, taking questions of all kinds of, you know, different questions that he answers right on his feet. The guy comes across as, you know, a reasonable statesman. Yeah, he's protecting Russia's interests. That's his job. But he wants to do so within a multipolar world that isn't about being dominated by, you know, the Luciferian central bankers cabal that's behind NATO. It's like, you know, okay, it's time for an even playing field and we'll all get to compete within a, you know, peaceful world and an international law. Can we go there now, please? And yeah, he's also the former head of the KGB. You know, he's no saint. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm an American. I am a patriotic American supporting, you know, our country's interests. But this demonizing of Putin in Russia, for anybody who's, you know, looking at it closely, it just doesn't hold water. You know, there's that international poll they do, Nancy, you know, every few years that say, who is the most respected leaders in the world? Well, guess who, you know, worldwide is voted more trustworthy than, you know, than Macron of France or Trump of the U.S. or Theresa May of the U.K. Surprise, surprise, around the world, people actually give Putin more respect and trust than they do, you know, a lot of the G7 leaders, and certainly at this point, you know, the U.S. Just worth noting, you know.
Well, let me tell you a little story, and I'm not going to give you the details because I don't remember them. They were very convoluted. But back in the 80 time frame, I believe, there was, and don't quote me on this seriously because this is old information, but it's information that Americans don't understand. There was a concerted effort to bring down the economy of the Soviet Union, of Russia in particular.
But, right, the Wanta thing.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Maybe you know more about it than I do, but the nation that you see right now is a nation that is very, very focused on not military might of countries, but the economic and financial structure of them because right. of the way that they got taken. And can you summarize it? It was basically selling bad stocks to the Russians.
Right. And I don't have a detailed understanding of it. It's been a few years since I was involved in that. It had a tie into the global collateral account story. But essentially, as I understand it, it was, I mean, the ruble at that time, obviously in a communist centrally controlled economy, did not function in the same way that currencies functioned in what was then called the free world. But as I understand it, it was a plan to completely devalue and undercut the ruble through some massive currency moves that contributed to the downfall. And when you had the Strategic Defense Initiative, the SDI Star Wars program, putting huge pressure on Russia to compete and keep up militarily during the Reagan era, you know, that's what ultimately pushed Gorbachev and Shevardnadze at that time to, okay, you know, we've got to this thing is a house of cards. It's collapsing. It's economically. We can't keep up this thing we call the Soviet Union as, you know, this dominating empire that's going toe-to-toe with the U.S. with, you know, every armaments advance because SDI bankrupted them. In combination, if this is a real story about the Wanta, I forget the guy's first name, you know, plot, it was a covert action to undercut the ruble. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's the basic story to it. Like I say, it was so convoluted. Do I believe it's true? Yes, I spent a lot of time tracking it I'm a historian of Russia. But anyway, yes. So when you look at where the Soviets are right now, the Russians are right now, the Soviet Union was brought down because of an economic attack, an economic war. Why do you think it fell apart so fast? Because the people themselves were in a state of duress. Now, let me tell you a little story because it so mimics what we're doing here. We get on the radio stations and we begin to talk about 5G and, you know, spread the knowledge, spread the information. That's why it's called, you know, 5G Know, KNOW, know about it. Because once you know, then you're going to be, you know, as upset as the rest of us. So when you're talking about the concept of Russia, you're talking about a group of people that were part of the Soviet Union, where the economic battle was basically putting the people in a state where they had to do something. But they were being told that they couldn't, that there was no ability, because it wasn't democracy. There was no freedom of speech. There was no all of these guaranteed things. So all of the people in the Soviet Union, in the Warsaw Pact nations, they all realized that their government was oppressive, that it wasn't their government. It was this thing that was controlling them. So what happens is that to control the information, the entire communist bloc would make sure that every printing press was controlled. You had to have a license to own a printing press because information, knowledge would undo them. They were very afraid of it. So you had to get a permit to have the printing press, and everything that would essentially be considered a printing press was very, very intently controlled. Now, this is where the dysfunction comes in, right? And cognizant dissonance. Because when they got the fax machine, when the fax machine technology came out, everybody's like, even in the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, wow, this thing's pretty cool. You know, you put this paper in and it shows up over there. Neat, right? Okay. Well, what they didn't realize is the fax machine was a printer, because all you had to do was send out a statement of fact. And the statement of fact that came out in, first off, in Poland, was that, look it, there's only 10% of this nation that's communist. 90% of us are not. We ought to go to the streets and say, get the hell out of here. And so they print that thing and they send it over a fax. Then at the fax machine, they just kept copying it, and then passed it out to the people. Within 3 months, it all collapsed. Everything. That is the power of information. And that's what we're seeing reflected in the 5G, making everybody uptight, crazy, active, and focused on information, that is now making them look at the 4G. Of the smog that's all around us, of our attitude towards nature. It's like we are in an incredible time in history of the awakening of humanity, just like it happened in the Soviet and Warsaw community. Because they pushed too far. They put us down too far. People are unhappy. People know there's a problem. And on top of that, you attack us with 5G? Bad move.
Yeah, that's something that I've heard said about the American people, is that, yeah, we began with a revolution in 1776, but we're not, you know, a revolutionary people. The stability of democracy in this country for more than, you know, it's coming up on 250 years, that, all right, that's what made us an ideal place for investment. And, you know, that's the stability of government. You're not going to have some revolution where, you know, the company you just built just topples in flames, or it gets nationalized, or some commies come in. The U.S. is a stable place, you know, for that to happen. Because the American people, you know, it takes a lot to piss us off. It takes a lot to wake us up. That's why For the Japanese Empire, Pearl Harbor was such a huge mistake. It, you know, enraged and woke up the American people. And this is what 5G is doing. You know, it's like everybody's having to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. You know, you care about the environment, you care about what's going on, but you know, geez, I just can't get the bandwidth of energy and focus to deal with it. I don't want to hear about it, you know. I'm trying to keep the lights on and my kids fed. You know, okay, you do-gooders out there, good luck. But this is too far. This is the push too far, that now the wake-up is going out. You know, the sleeping beast has been awakened. So that's you know, what we're seeing. And with everything else that's going on in the political divisiveness and polarization that is unfortunately going on in the U.S. right now, you know, the next few years, as this movement reaches, you know, a crisis and passes through whatever the ultimate resolution is going to be, you know, we're passing through what I think could very likely be a revolutionary period. Both in America and worldwide. And I hope and believe it's going to be, you know, a revolution of the people taking their power back in a nonviolent way. And yeah, there's already what they call collateral damage. People, as you pointed out, Nancy, in that post you did about those frontline warriors, God bless them, in South Korea, they didn't realize they were frontline warriors when 5G got turned down in those five cities and they all went up in flames. But unfortunately, you know, those victims are part of the wake-up call that goes out.
And it was the animals and nature. And, I mean, my God, I can't even imagine how awful that must have been. Because if they turned it on that, with that much power, I'm absolutely with Mark that you would have seen disintegration of the bodies.
Yeah, and this is, you know, as you talk about when fax machines came out in the late 80s, as much as they're trying to lock down the internet, as much of censorship and control as is in place in Google, in Facebook, in Twitter, you know, it is undeniable the corporate censorship and control that they are using the excuse of, we want to protect you from fake news. Ah, well, it seems like, you know, the algorithm is actually protecting me from anything about human rights, is what it's really happening. But despite all that, the internet is ultimately beyond their control. They're going to have to do a complete shutdown and off switch of it at some point. You know, if there's a global war or a crisis, and then, okay, they've got their wish. They've got, you know, martial law, and they shut everything down. But in the meantime, I mean, you've got ehtrust.org, environmentalhealthtrust.org. You've got us, for example, right here on the radio at 5G Now, 5G-knrw.com. You've got many organizations like our friends in Taos at is5gsafe.org. And the word's going out. You know, and the internet it's not really ultimately controllable yet for them. And they, you know, traditionally it is a big war that allows them to impose draconian control. And I'm hearing rumors that once again they're trying to start a war with Iran, like Venezuela, you know, military. Oh, we need to go and protect democracy in Venezuela. Really? Nothing to do with their oil, I'm sure. And they've been trying to push war with Iran for a very long time. And it's that, you know, state of total pervasive control that a wartime condition allows you to impose, that's really, you know, pretty much like their only, the only card they have left to play, that and 5G. You know, rolling out a surveillance control and weapon system 300 feet from every home in America. So, but again, we want to share enough good news with folks so that they know there's hope, but not so much that you think, oh, great, they've got it covered. Love you folks at 5G No and in Taos and Sebastopol and elsewhere. So good to know it's over. It ain't over by a long shot. We have so much work that it is our duty as human beings, as Americans, as, you know, citizens of the world, to see to it that this is stopped. So, you know, we're glad to be sharing all this good news with you, and we urge you to get in touch with your local organizations. If you go to 5g-knrw.com, we've got a whole list of websites and organizations you can go to around the country. Takebackyourpower.net also has a great list of links. And again, ehtrust.org is another great website to go to. Inpowermovement.org. These are some of the leading organizations that are sharing all the tools that are being used by towns, municipalities, counties, and states across the country and around the world. So it's happening, folks, and we just need you to hang in there with us. And you don't have to turn into a full-time activist, you know, because we're all trying to get the bills paid. But there are many actions on a small scale that you can take. You know, you go to a meeting, you sign a petition, give a donation if you can to some of these organizations. Certainly at 5g-knrw.com, we are not a nonprofit. You know, we are donating our time here to this effort out of our own ability. You know, we're doing what we can to generate revenue to be self-supporting. But we are certainly glad to have your donations. They would not be tax deductible, but they would certainly help us continue to do this work. So just, you know, important information for all of us to have. Nancy, we're coming up on our last 10 minutes here. Are there some other perspectives on this that that you'd like us to look at?
Well, I'm going to be on, let's see, 6 p.m. Eastern until 7 p.m. Eastern with Jamie Bates. And I'm not as sure exactly what Jamie's got in mind, but she asked me if I'd come on. She wants to do something with 5G. Now, when Jamie says she wants to do something with 5G, she's not talking about going down to the courthouse. She's talking about doing metaphysical work, doing adjustment work. I have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for her, so it's going to be an interesting whatever happens. That's on today after a few hours from now. And that's really the key to a lot of this is we talk about the concept of bringing humanity, or I talk about the concept of bringing humanity together, but it's even beyond that if you jump into the metaphysics of it. And when I'm talking metaphysics, I'm talking about the spiritual aspects, the energetic aspects. You know, who are we in the conceivable universe? Well, we're energy bodies. It's all energy. It's all energy bodies. And we as a species of existence, humanity, has a tremendous power within the concept of thought. Thought is energy. Thought dictates your reality. What you think reality is what you're going to get, period. Now, those people out there that think 5G is fine, they're wrong. Okay? Now, so how can I say that, you know, reality is what you think it is? They think it's safe. We think it's not. Well, we think it's not. So within our reality, it's not. Within their reality, they still think it is. And for all practical purposes, within the scheme of energetic realities, it's true. But it's the amount of energy that goes into any given reality that manifests it as being the dominant version, the dominant story, okay? That more people listen to this story than that story. In our story, we're saying, you don't have any proof that it's safe. We have absolute proof that it's killing the entire planet. So our reality, by its nature of being based on fact and not illusion, is gaining more and more energy. And when you go into the concept of using your own thoughts as engaging in reality building, all right, you can sit in your own home and you can do energy work that will dictate the outcome of this very lopsided, game we're playing, because there's, you know, almost 8 million of billion of us, and there's, you know, a few hundred of them that really understand and are dictating everything else. It all goes to the top. You know, what is the top saying to the people in the bottom? The guy on the pole who has to wear a hazmat suit so that he can support his family, you know, any excuse to get down off that thing and get away from those things, but he needs an excuse. We are the excuse. We are saying to you, don't listen to the people that are telling you it's safe, and to go up and put that hazmat suit on and you'll be fine. You know, I don't think so. If you go and do that kind of activity to make them aware that, no, you don't have to do this. This is not only inhuman, it's criminal. Get down off of the pole and come together, not just within the concept of humanity at the 3D, but as humanity, as a collective consciousness of who do we want to be? What do we want to be? Do we want to be sheep that listen to somebody else? Do we want to be individuals who understand that our own thoughts are dictating reality? You put bad thoughts out, you think that, you know, this way, well, that's the energy, and you're going to build. If you think the other way, it's energy. Every single thought you have is feeding the fire of cosmic energy. And that includes
exactly
the consciousness, you know? So engage in the idea of spirituality in your own power of thought, because that's where the changes have already occurred.
Exactly. And, you know, this is where the greatest change can take place. And we often talk about this, about the balance between the on-the-ground 3D actions are an expression of a change on the consciousness level. And there are actually, you know, small things, exercises, you might call them rituals, that we can do on a metaphysical level that are can be hugely influential. I just shared one with you from our friend, Reverend Maya Nartumid, Maya Christine Nartumid. If you just Google TZO, Thomas Zebra, Oregon, whatever the code, TZO Lectic, L-E-C-T-I-C, L-E-C-T-I-C, TZO Lectic. I just want to read from what Maya has shared here, specifically in regard to metaphysical action on the 5G question. It says, a genesis field is a dynamic, intelligent energy field responding to the impulse of creation. It is designed by universal intelligence, or what we might call divine intelligence, to create specific and ordered worlds. These worlds can be as small as the head of a pin or as large as a giant planet. In this context, regenesis is the quickening of an original genesis field into a new stage of evolution. And Maya shares that this is the most important article she has ever written, and she's been generating high sacred science material for more than 40 years. 5G is a turning point down a path of no return unless humanity changes course on this. She said, I cannot stress this more emphatically. We are not helpless. Humanity can and must turn this around. Most obvious way is through legislation. Also on this 3D level, here's what you can do. I urge you to take action. She shares, you know, our SAGE website, Sacred Academy of Geoenergetics. And she also shares this very easy to experience, you might call it a prayer ritual, a brief metaphysical action ritual that you can do, which is called the TZO Lectic. I won't go into detail on it, we don't have time, but if you Google TZO Lectic, L-E-C-T-I-C, you will find the link. It's on the crystallinematrix.wordpress.com website. That's one, you know, particularly effective, in my view, metaphysical tool that we've been given by spirit, that each of us taking 3 or 4 minutes a day can assert our spiritual sovereignty, say no to the deadly rollout, and say yes to the regenesis of Gaia. So we're coming up on just a couple of minutes left, and I think this has been a really excellent sharing today, and we're all going to be tuning in on the news from our friend Mark Steele, who's going to court tomorrow in the UK. They essentially are trying to shut him down and actually put him in prison for the crime of sharing alarming information about 5G in the community of Gateshead in northern England, where there are already terrible toxic effects being felt. Mark is an energy weapons expert, and they are refusing to acknowledge that 5G is even happening and denying the plain scientific facts being presented, and trying to put him in prison for generating fear. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, wife just had a miscarriage, and my brother had a tumor, and my kid was suffering from depression and suicidal ideation upon the implementation of 5G. I think that being alarmed would be an appropriate response. So we're going to be sending our prayers and support Mark's way, and we will keep you informed of developments. We'll have news from him on his court date tomorrow. Any final thoughts, Nancy?
Yeah, just – see Mark walking out of that courthouse just as happy as can be, full of joy, full of hope for all of us, because he's quite a, he's thank God he's there, it's amazing. Thank you all very, very much. And remember, at Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 7, we'll be doing some hopefully metaphysical things with Jamie. Well, I'm sure it is. And I'm going to play Jamie's, it's about 26 minutes of myself and Jamie talking about 5G that was on another radio show right after this one on 5G.
And, uh-huh.
And then on Cosmic Reality is where you'll hear Jamie and I tonight. But they're, you know, just go to Cosmic Reality Radio and you'll be there. Thank you all very much.
I will, yeah, I will certainly be there. And so every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, you'll find us here at Radio 5G, which is a joint project of Cosmic Reality and the Sacred Academy of Geoenergetics. Thanks for joining us, folks. God bless. See you next time.
Thank you for listening. May it be.
Let it